This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right now, I'm talking with an old friend of mine, Spencer. We haven't talked in a long time. We're catching up over, you know, old memories and stuff. But he's down in Los Angeles. And is it still L.A. County is where you were at?
Yeah, I think actually technically, yeah, we're L.A. County, but it's like Glendale is like, we're like right on the border.
Cool. Spencer from Trash Talk. Also, you can follow him as Dogman Toys. So this is something that, first off, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Coda.
I had been following Dogman Toys just because I get a kick out of like custom toys. I'm an action figure collector, as nerdy as that is. I collect all kinds of wrestling figures and whatnot, and I follow all these, you know, weird accounts, and then all of a sudden I realized it was you. So before we get into like the music side of things and stuff, tell me about Dogman Toys. Tell me about, you know, how you got into custom action figure making and whatnot.
Yeah. So probably about 6 years ago, I guess at this point, had a little more downtime with the band and kind of started exploring some interests that I had had before and spending more time with my dog and kind of hanging out. Got back into sculpting and basically wanted to start painting my sculpts, but had no skill or experience with paint, so I didn't want to mess them up. Sure. So I started learning about duplication process, molding and casting. And as I was learning more about that, I learned that I could, you know, break these very intricate sculpts that I was making that were not, you know, optimally made to be, you know, duplicated. So I started making, practicing on like toy pieces, and then started kind of like kit bashing, and then realizing that was a whole thing. And kind of just dove head first from there.
What was your first piece?
The first piece that I did, I think, the first thing that I actually sold was like a stormtrooper. It was a stormtrooper and like a bootleg, like wrestling action figure. I think I have one maybe.
Awesome.
It was either that or like, I think there were these guys too, which I didn't even sell. It was like a weird head that I was.
That's cool.
Like a head that I'd sculpted. Oh, this was like one of my first molds. It's a Captain America shield.
That's so cool.
And it like looks so messed up. So bad. But yeah.
That's sick. I mean, some of the stuff you have on there is like Bart Simpson related. I don't know if you can say that technically copyright or whatever, but you know, it's a Bart-esque.
It's a limited edition art. It's limited edition art, so it's not mass produced. It's not. Yeah, we're trying to step on any toes or anything.
Yep. So, what are you working on right now? Is there anything you can tell us?
What am I doing right now? I just actually finished today. I had an art show going on at Brain Dead Fabrications.
Yeah.
down here. It ran for like 6 weeks. It was just a bunch of stuff. So I kind of was getting out of there today. It was the last day of teardown. So I had my kid and got the grid walls out and tore down the wall and got all the gear out. Working on a couple figures. One for an artist that I can't really mention, sure. But it's a potential prototype for a figure. He's a heavily memed rapper.
Okay.
And he kind of leans into that. Yeah. So it's basically, it's a figure he got roasted for wearing a couple years ago. And okay. we're basically making the roast a reality. And so, yeah, we're finishing that up this week. I got a couple collectors that have some Grateful Dead stuff they wanted made. So I'm okay. making, got a Jerry Garcia playing an acoustic guitar for a collector.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm shipping that out in the next couple of days.
It's a wild world, man. Like, and I mentioned it, you know, that I'm a collector of wrestling figures and during the pandemic, something that I noticed is that there's a lot of, fellow wrestling nerds that make, officially licensed wrestling figures for, you know, like some wrestlers that maybe, you know, aren't on mainstream wrestling or something like that. And so like, there's all these different indie brands that start to make these not mass produced, but, you know, kind of limited, you know, maybe 500 pieces or something like that. It's like, it's so crazy. It's like the world of indie music, indie video games, indie toys now, you know, it's really awesome. So, yeah, man, Dogman Toys, check it out. So talk about your music. So you grew up in Bakersfield, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about Bakersfield. I know Korn. I know Oil.
Yep.
And that's about it. Is that what?
So we got Korn. Korn and Oil.
Is that where you were born, Bakersfield?
I was born actually about 5 miles from where I live in now, but moved up there with my parents when I was like one. Mm-hmm. They're from there. My grandparents all lived up there at the time. Yeah, it's just like it's a big, small town. It's oil and agriculture. Most people there kind of grew up there, went to high school there. May have done
conservative.
Yeah, very conservative.
Yeah. What got you into music? Was it your family?
No, it was actually through sports randomly. Like I was like through.
I remember you playing baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what took me up to the Northwest. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Bakersfield's one of those like towns that's like the whole town is pretty much suburbs.
Sure.
So like everyone kind of like, not everyone, but like if you're into skating, it's not odd that you play baseball or play football or do other stuff as well. And so it was like, the summer before going into my freshman year, I was playing football and I was a quarterback. And so I was yelling a lot. And one of my linemen goes like, dude, you got a crazy like voice. Like, and also I was like a bouncing off the walls, like just ball of energy at that time. So I was just goofing around, being weird, screaming, yelling. He's like, dude, you should like sing for a band. What kind of music you like? And I'm like, oh, you know, I like, yeah, at the time I was listening to like, you know, I was like, I like the Casualties. I like GBH. Oh, okay. And he's like, oh, dude, you like punk? Like, let's do a punk band. And he was playing in a band called, I think they were called 10 Mile Radius.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, let's start a band. So we started a band. One of our wide receivers, older brothers, played drums. They had just moved to town from Jakarta.
Whoa.
Yeah. And because of that connection, there was like weird connections down the line. Like, that guy, Scott, who was the drummer, actually played in a band with Jason Wallace, who was the guitar or bass player of Bitter End.
Whoa.
And he actually came out.
Like the Texas hardcore band?
Bitter End, yeah. He came out to visit. Like this is like literally probably like a decade before Bitter End starts. This is like, not that. Maybe it's 5-6 years. It's like 2000, like 99. He comes to visit Scott and like,
yeah.
Meeting this dude and it's like, you know, we're talking music and it's just like this rant. Like when you're a kid, you know, it's completely different. It's like,
absolutely.
Like you guys, like you remind me of the Bad Brains. It's like, we don't sound anything like the Bad Brains. But of course I was like, you know, brown kid bouncing off the walls with dreads. And it's like, oh yeah, it's pretty similar, I guess, in some regards.
When I was in high school, I sang for a band that, and it was just the like only kids that liked alternative rock, right? So the bassist wanted it to sound like Tool. The guitarist wanted it to sound like Murder City Devils. The other guitarist wanted it to sound like Ozzy Osbourne, and I wanted it to be like pop punk. It's like, dude, no, like, what?
It's the best of all worlds.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, it ended up great.
Sound like really Coheed and Cumbria.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you start 10 mile radius.
Yeah, so he had his band, they were doing their thing. And then we started a band, it was called At Random. And then it really started going. We were called Scaryville, played a bunch of shows. There's a band from Tehachapi called Die Hard Youth that kind of so Andy Die Hard, he kind of took us under his wing and had us open shows and was like, even shows we weren't booked on, he's like, yo, come out and play, like, come set up, like, do your thing. Cause we were like on like the edge of hardcore.
Sure.
Not quite there. And he had us, when what was it, 2000 or 2001, on that first, American Nightmare West Coast tour.
Wow.
It was American Nightmare, Carry On. I think Reach the Sky may have, no, that was later. I think it was Bane, Reached the Sky, Faded Gray. It was later that year. But he had us open that AN show. And that was like the first, like, holy, like, this is like a thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like picking up change. And it was like, we were just like, you know, a skater, like high school kids. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is this? And from there, it was just like the fuse was ignited. We were just trying to play. From there, it was just play faster, jump off more stuff, like go crazier.
So you're playing in this band. What brought you up to Tacoma a few years later? Was it baseball?
Yeah. So I went to college at University of Puget Sound. It was one of a few schools that wanted me to come play baseball.
Did you get a scholarship?
Not, they're D3, so they don't really offer a scholarship, but they had a spot on the team. They gave me a job. So they kind of put money in my pocket that I wouldn't have had. So I was the field maintenance guy, which basically meant like I practice and I do a little maintenance work, but it's not any more maintenance than what the team's doing.
Sure.
Yeah. And when I went up there, I was eating in the cafeteria and I was wearing a cursed shirt. And Adam Barnes was working in the cafeteria.
Okay.
He looks up and he goes, what the hell? He goes, you like cursed? I thought you were just some weird jock. Cause I've been coming through the cafeteria line, getting food with like the team. And he goes like, yeah, like if you're into like, we do house shows and stuff over at my crib, like come hang out. I went over to the house and I think it was that, Hit the Deck show. I think, I don't know if it was, that was the first show, but like I met like Evan Nolte, saw Grayskull play, met Tony Wolf, like Brian, all those dudes.
Yeah. Tim. That's okay. So you're kind of just, you get in, were you living on campus?
Yeah, I was living in the dorms at that time.
Nice. Did you do UPS radio? Did you?
Yeah, me and the guy who ended up being my roommate, Jason Henderson, we had a show. What was it even called? I don't even remember what it was called. But yeah, we did a show from like, I think 11 to 1.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays?
Yes, yeah.
Man. Yeah, KUPS. Do.
K-U-P-S. That's awesome. You guys played like probably like metal, hardcore and stuff like that?
Yeah, we did like everything, but like a lot of metal, hardcore, punk. And then with like we would take a little break and we would play like Michael Jackson and like pop awesome. And stuff for like a little bit and just kind of have fun with it.
Hell yeah. You got any of those recordings?
No. You know what? They may have some archive stuff because I know they were doing some deep art. They were like keeping a lot of records of stuff up there. But I would be surprised if that was one that...
Right, they're like, I don't know about those, these ones.
Hard drive was next to the magnets.
Okay, so I remember you were in a band, and I don't even know if you probably, well, maybe you do, but I remember seeing a band called Set It Free.
Yeah,
and people were just staring and not moshing. And I remember after the set, you were like, "Fuck you guys! You guys are my friends. You should fucking go off. This is bullshit." Because everyone was just standing there staring like cool guys. It was, and yeah. Rick Powell was in your band.
Yeah, that was the first like Opus band. It was like I had written a bunch of tracks and then got like a couple roommates and then some like surrounding guys to play them. And it was rough. It was weird. It was probably really bad, realistically.
I saw you in Olympia. I don't remember necessarily. I just remember the name, Set It Free.
Yeah.
I do remember early memories of you. You were a very hard mosher, like incredibly hard mosher. You would people up, dude. And I think you weren't smoking weed at the time, so you were probably a little bit more aggro.
I was an edgeman, yeah.
You were an edgeman, and you were just like, you were, you know, you were fucking people up, man.
Oh, to be a teenager.
You're a mosh warrior, dude. at the midnight sun in Olympia, man.
Yeah, man.
Good times. So how far into, you know, being in the Northwest, did you join Trash Talk? And did you immediately get along with those guys?
So yeah, the reason, like, so I joined Trash Talk actually kind of on the drive when I was moving from Tacoma back to Bakersfield.
Okay.
I met Lee at the Carry On reunion shows.
Okay, yeah.
I think that, what was that, 2005
or six?
Yeah.
You make like 1,000 demos and you start handing out these demos.
Yeah. Passing demos out. And I think we played one of the opening shows. And then at that point we were just playing any and every show we could.
It seemed like you guys really just like went for it, like immediately. And you know, you were playing tons of shows. It almost seemed like you like moved to a new town or state. Like you guys were like on the East Coast for a while there, right? And then like you were a Seattle band for a little while, and then like you became like a California band. You guys were just like hitting it hard from
We were basically going on tour, and then wherever we broke down, we would live and figure it out and then kind of do odd jobs and then book another tour and then go somewhere else and then start playing and then break down inevitably somewhere else and kind of stay there and gig. It was always pretty fly by the seat of our tails at the beginning.
You guys get pretty close pretty fast, right?
Yeah. Yo, yeah.
It's crazy. What are some of your earliest memories of those like really like, you know, fast and loose days of just touring super hard with Trash Talk?
I mean, we used to pack in, like, we used to tour in Garrett's, he had a Saturn, like, station wagon.
Okay.
That was, like, our first, I think it was either that car or our drummer, Chris Hans, had a this, like, the same car, but white.
Yeah.
Basically, like, imagine a Ford Taurus with a Saturn emblem on the front.
Okay.
And, yeah, we would just basically drive, and anytime we would see like train tracks or like layups, we would just like pull off and go paint. And like, we were just like hanging out, having fun, and driving long ass drives to go play whatever show. But taking time to go, you know, do our thing and have fun. And we had fools always had like skateboards and paint, and we're just out having fun, bro. Like, we packed, I think it was Sync with Cali, we packed like six of us, maybe seven, in Kristen Pasiting's like Honda Civic. It was like a two-door Honda.
Wow.
And it was like six of us plus a bunch of merch and guitars, and it was like four across the back seat, like two people laying across the seat, like two in the front seat and a driver. And we were driving, you know, from Seattle to San Pedro, so it was like
Jesus.
Just a straight drive, and people were like dying in there, needing windows cracked just to be able to breathe. And it was like a lot of like that.
That was the year that Hoods played at Sync with Cali, right? In HIV Power.
I think that was the next year. I think the year that was would have been like the first like incarnation of Let Live, which no one knew what was going on. But I remember Brian Skiffington and I were just like, what was that? Like, it kind of sounded like Glassjaw. He's like, I don't know, dude, the singer just kept saying the N-word. Like, I was really uncomfortable. I had to leave. I was like, I thought that was like one of the coolest parts of the set. Like, we didn't know what was going on because we were from out of state.
Okay. So you guys just start touring so you guys have this emblem, the upside down peace sign, and it became kind of like the trademark of Trash Talk. And you know, you guys made hats of it, but the t-shirt, man, it's like, that's like, when I think of that era of hardcore, it's like the one t-shirt design, right? So like, we got the like Bane shirt, you got the Black Flag Bane hoodie, you got the Black Flag shirt for that era. It's the Trash Talk t-shirt. Do you know how many colors you guys did of that t-shirt?
No clue, but it was like a different color or two for like every tour or show for a while. There's a lot of them. There's some patterns and it was a lot. Garrett would probably have a better idea of how many of like what the actual numbers are, but I don't even know. And it's funny to me when people say that, because it's like, I know that we definitely probably sold a lot of those shirts, but because we were playing most of the shows we were at, we didn't see a lot of those shirts on, you know? So it's like, it feels like other shirts were more prevalent, I guess.
You would leave, and then for the next year, everyone would remember.
just wear it to scraps.
Exactly, dude. Before you know, you guys really got going with that, did you guys know you were gonna, like, that was gonna be the thing? Was that like intentional, or did it just kind of happen?
No, it was just kind of like who we kind of were. Like, me and Lee were just balls of energy. Like, Garrett was like stoked to be on the, like, be out and like playing shows. We were just kind of like doing what made sense. I don't know if there was ever really like a, like, it was always on our terms and we would like do what we wanted to do, but it was never like a, there was never like a game plan really.
Yeah. Sometime down the road, and I'm curious, you guys kind of link up with Odd Future, and I ended up going to Zoomies and seeing a Trash Talk t-shirt. How did all of, you know, that it was really cool, man. How did you guys meet up with the Odd Future guys and kind of get linked up with that crew?
So I missed that it was at South by Southwest when everyone linked up at the Fader Fort. There was a photographer that was traveling with them at the time, who was their tour manager. His name is Brick Stowell. He's a good friend of ours. And he brought them out to the Trash Talk show and was like, yo, you guys, that's like the same energy, like, check this out. And they kind of like vibed. And then once I recovered from my from the hospital, when I linked back up, it was just kind of go time, and it made sense energy wise and kind of like the vibe they brought and kind of like the whole kind of like ethos was very similar.
Absolutely, man. So you know, something that is happening now that I think you guys were very ahead of your time, and is we'll see bands like Knocked Loose going on tour with Suicide Boys, right? Or Code Orange going on tour with similar hip hop groups and stuff. You guys were very ahead of your time with that. Like, you guys were going on tour with Space Ghost Perp, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you guys did, you know, tours with Odd Future and stuff. Like, was that a good vibe? Was that really fun going on tour with hip hop groups?
Yeah, like, for
being,
sure.
Right. Being the odd band out as, like, you know, the punk band.
Yeah, for sure. Like, at like playing shows like that, it wasn't necessarily like any different than playing a punk show, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Like, everyone's got like a first show, and it's kind of cool to know that you're going to be the band that's going to be a lot of people's first show.
Yeah.
And especially like if they've already, like, if you're like a 13, 14, 15 year old kid listening to Odd Future, like, at in that era, and someone introduces you to like some abrasive like rock, people are jumping around, it's not going to be foreign at all, because you've already seen a lot of that stuff going on. So I don't know, it kind of made sense.
What's the wildest party you remember from that era?
I don't even know. I don't even remember. I remember. I don't even know, man. I've got
some vice party or something like that.
Maybe I got like the worst memory for like stuff. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm trying to. I don't even know. We used to play like when we went to London for a summer. We lived in London for a while.
Okay. Did your car break down there?
No, thank you. The plane broke down.
Okay.
So we had to stay. No, we actually moved out there. We got offered like a few festivals. I think it was the year we were playing Reading and Leeds.
Awesome.
And so we were like, let's just like stay out here in the meantime, rather than fly back and forth. That doesn't really make sense. Like it's the same amount if we just like get a place and like start, just pay rent.
Amazing.
Let's just play shows out here in the meantime. And so we kind of just did it. And that was a vice venue was a spot we played quite a bit. It was called Old Blue Last. Mm-hmm. And we, not really a residency, but we played there probably six times over that summer.
We're a local band.
Yeah, essentially.
That's amazing, dude. That's like a residency, a local band residency. That's really cool. So, you know, you guys, when the pandemic hits, where are you at? You are about to have a kid, right? Right as the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the pandemic, like on February 25th, 2020, our son was born. And that was like a week before hospital lockdown and like everything. So like, luckily, my girl works director of sales and marketing for a hotel. So she's got it's like a full like career.
Yeah.
So she's like doing like, she works quite a bit. And so luckily she was able to take, you know, maternity leave and then, you know, paid family leave. And then there's just like the hotel business kind of shuts down for a while. So it was kind of like the perfect time. So we got to spend a lot of time with him, and she got to spend more time than she would have without having to go back to work. So we were really lucky in that regard.
That actually sounds kind of ideal, honestly.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, and it was like a good distraction from the craziness. Wow.
Aside from that, you know, like, was that the main thing that kept you sane? Was like spending time with your family?
Yeah. Hanging out with the family, making music.
So making music, did you guys record music or for Trash Talk, or was it something else?
I got some other stuff going on. So like right before the pandemic, maybe a year before pandemic, I started playing bass for Infest. And then, which everything shut down for pandemic stuff, but like, I kind of like write demos and make music for myself. So I was making just a kind of bunch of stuff and working on the toys and kind of diving full into that, because not that it's about a paycheck, but nothing coming in from the music side. So dive full into toys and make that a job, and kind of like it, luckily it kind of worked out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you just casually dropping that you're an Infest.
Yeah.
I should have known, but that's epic, man. That's crazy, man. So, awesome. Obviously legendary band. So I'm kind of curious here about a couple of random questions for you, man. So we've kind of covered, you know, up into, you know, today, kind of up until today. So Trash Talk, you guys have anything going? You guys are gonna be playing Furnace Fest?
Yeah, Furnace Fest.
Do you guys have any music on the horizon or anything you can mention? No?
Not nothing planned, but I mean, I've always got some tracks in the barrel, and we'll, there's never not like, when we decide to record, it's kind of like, me and Garrett, one of us will call each other and like, hey, let's, you know, you want to make some music that sounds like this, or hey, you want to do some, it's like one of those weird, like, calls you get from your buddy. That's like, hey, you want to go to the bar? It's like, hey, you want to make a record?
There you go. That's great.
Yeah.
And you guys are all living pretty close together?
Yeah, more or less. They're in the city. I'm kind of in the suburbs.
Awesome, man. Right on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Just some more fun questions, not necessarily trash talk related. So when you're having a crappy day, Spencer, and you want to put on a record that'll kind of either, you know, cheer you up or get some aggression out, it just, if you're just having a crappy day, what's a record you can reach for?
There's this, it's actually, I think it just became back available on streaming services. It's an anthology record by this band called The Jets.
The Jets?
Yeah, J-E-T-Z.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's just like a power pop group, and it's just a real catchy and fun, and that kind of just gets me out of whatever.
Are they a current band?
No. The anthology, that record is like 77 to 79.
Okay.
I think one of the guys, or a couple of the guys, did some stuff after, but it's not the same.
Okay. Jets. Yeah. So I'm gonna check it out. You said Buzzcocks?
Yeah, Buzzcocks, Singles Going Steady. That's always a get up and go.
Absolutely. So we've talked about some of the crazy, you know, sets that you guys played, and you know, I'm sure there's so many great shows. What's the crappiest show that you can think of, other than Set It Free?
Crappiest show. I don't know if it was a crappy show. It was a really, really weird show. We were on tour with Modern Life is War and I forget who else was on the tour, but it was us and them. We were playing in this, I think the venue was called The Forge or The Foundry in Joplin, Missouri. And okay. It was one of those like mega church venues where there's like a huge church, like stadium, like rock church.
Like the Paradox, yeah.
Yeah, but then they also have like this elite rock climbing wall, like a dope like half pipe, like skate park. They've got like a soda bar at the back. There's like a full court like nice like basketball gym where it was Trash Talk versus Modern Life is War. Obviously, we destroyed. But
is this the gemstones? Like, what are we going? You know,
it was just so bizarre. But the venue made us sign a contract that we couldn't cuss on stage. Or play any songs with like cursing. And it was just like, I think we had just written the self-titled record.
Lots of swearing.
Yeah. Good amount of swearing, but we were just like, you guys want to just play this start to finish? It's like, all right, cool. Let's do it. So we just played this record start to finish to like 7 people in this venue that could probably fit like 2K, 3K easy. Just this huge, like this giant, like warehouse, like style venue.
After playing basketball and drinking some sodas.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Shout out. What's it called?
I think The Foundry or The Forge.
The Foundry. Nice, dude.
Oh, dude. And also it was like within a smelling distance of like a dog food processing factory.
Oh.
So on the loadout, you get to like walk just full face into just like the thickest like dog food smell. So if that's like a trigger for you, which it is for me. Like you're going to be gagging all night.
Cool.
Not yeah, it was rough.
Jesus.
Best of worship.
Okay, so what is your biggest musical like inspiration? Like to keep going, you know, like what keeps you going? Because, you know, like you're kind of at this point, you know, the lifer, you know, right?
Yeah, definitely a lifer. I don't know. It's kind of always been there. It's kind of always been something I did and kind of who I was. Like even with like before like punk and stuff, like I was making songs with my cousins when we were like 3-4 years old and like recording them on like those little Fisher Price tapes. And we had like a group called the Cousins and like we wrote like,
that's amazing.
Full tracks. And like my grandma just passed recently. And at the repast, my cousin and I were like, he's like, you remember you used to write these songs? Like, bro, the other day I was at work and I was just like sitting there, it started raining. And I was like thinking, I was like, man, it's like drip, drop, drip, drop. And he started singing this song we wrote when I was like 4 years old. And he's like, dude, like those songs were catchy. Like that was fun. So it's like, it's kind of always been just like, on the stove with the other going on. And even when it's not trash talk, or I've got like some new projects, like one I can't really talk about, but some music coming out really soon.
Yeah.
With that. Yeah. It's just kind of always been there. And it just kind of feels like, I don't know, like always making something, like getting into, like, and I'm sure you're the same way, like hearing new music, getting into new music, and then just bring like, you know, hey, I like, you know, I like, you know, Dutch hardcore, or I like, you know, I listen to now I listen to like, you know, some new genre or whatever.
Thinking back of formative, like hardcore records, like what's your Mount Rushmore of hardcore?
Like the big four?
Your big four of hardcore.
Jeez, I've never been good with stuff like this. It would we'll go with like influential, like formative stuff, like stuff that like, I'll take Infest out of the mix, cause I'd play with them now. But like, so we'll go with like bands like Spaz kind of lay the foundation for me. Black Flag, of course, but that's kind of cliche to say. Bad Brains, obviously. Social Unrest, man.
I don't know Social Unrest.
It's a Bay Area band. They don't get a whole lot of love. They're like around like 81.
Okay.
Early 80s, sick ass band.
Okay. So my last question for you, man. So this is a question that we kind of talked about. And let's go back to this story. So the question that I always ask is pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got it. So let's go into that story, man.
I'm actually gonna go left.
Okay.
So because that's the thing I know that's the question you ask.
Yep.
I got a scar on my eye. I'll tell you about the other one, but I got a scar on my eye. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
Right there. My bone, my like orbital is like weird.
Yes.
So it's relevant now because I'm basically at the age, my son's almost at the age that I was when I got this. Mm-hmm. So I was doing T-ball. We didn't have a T at the house. And my dad this was like the 90s. So actually this is probably 89. So beach volleyball is like really big.
Yes.
Bakersfield's got a bunch of like dry riverbeds. So beach volleyball was huge in Bakersfield. So my dad had these like tires with cement fills in them with like aluminum or like steel pipe in it. So they can put the nets up in them.
Yeah.
So he has one of those. And rather than get a rubber tee for me to practice on, he puts a piece of carpet on top of that and puts a ball on top.
Okay.
Thinking like, oh yeah, it's a T, perfect height. Dude, the first game swing, I just take a swing at it and hit the corner of the T, and the bat bounces back straight off, catches me directly in the eye. Split, just splits. All I remember seeing is just blood just shooting everywhere. To the ER, blue sheet over the face, like stitched up. It was fine, but ended up having like a pretty gnarly, like sharp, it's dulled down over the years, but a pretty sharp little shard in my head for a while.
Did you get a concussion?
Probably.
Nasty. Probably. But that was before people really talked about concussions. They're like, he just knocked down.
Yeah, I definitely had a concussion in like junior high football.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like a kickoff or a punt or something. I was like just sprinting downfield and like we just went head to head, me and this kid. And like I remember like not, I don't remember any of the rest of the game, but I remember throwing up on the sideline, being super dizzy. And then we went to the bank with my mom afterwards for some reason.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like standing there in line and for no reason at all, I just started crying. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? And like, and she's like, are you feeling okay? Like, do you have a headache? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, does your stomach hurt? I'm like, yeah. Like, I think you have a concussion. Like,
don't go to sleep.
Yeah. Don't go to sleep. But of course we don't go to the, doctor or anything.
Yeah, of course.
Is this the '90s?
Exactly. So, do you want to tell the story about?
Yeah, I could talk about that. So I got a few other scars. So the reason I wasn't at the Odd Future meeting with the guys is, the night before I was supposed to go to LA to link up with the dudes to drive out there, I was hanging with some like a couple buddies in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And alley we were talking about. We weren't hanging out in alley. There's an alley called I Street Alley that has a few bars off of it in Bakersfield. And we went to a bar, and from walking from one bar to the next, a friend of mine who I won't mention his name was speaking to, we kind of lose him in the shuffle. And I say we, it was like me, Tim, and I think Tim's, Tim's a female friend of his. And we were going from one place to the next, and Tim's gone. So we're like, you know, where did Tim go? Like, what the heck? Turn around, he's talking to this big, like skinhead looking dude. So we go, hey, what's going on, Tim? You good? Tim is like, I think I know you from somewhere. Like, where do I know you from? The guy's like, you don't know me. He's like, nah, dude, I know you. And the guy's like, all you need to know is I hate black people. And next thing I know, guy's rushing me, blah, blah, blah. We're kind of squabbing. I feel these big kind of blows to my sides. Next thing I know, I got shreds in my shirt, bleeding a good amount. Long story short, my childhood homie Mike takes me to the ER on the east side of town, which luckily he's got a lot of experience with stab wounds.
Jesus.
So they glued me up and gave me some medicine. Forgot to give me a tetanus shot, so I had to drive back. As I left, I'm like, wait a second, I didn't get a tetanus shot. So I had to go back and get a tetanus shot.
Brutal. You still have that scar?
Yeah, it's three. I got a few of them. Three? Yes. I got hit here. On my elbow was like kind of down to the almost to the like I was to the bone a little bit. On my side here was like just fat and like me, like not really. I'm not a very big guy. I'm pretty small.
Yeah.
So it was like you could see like fatty tissue and like meat and kind of like weird goo and stuff coming out. And then like a little tiny one over here that was just like flesh and a little muscle.
Thanks to the Bakersfield Nazi. Jesus.
Yeah, man. Peckerwoods.
F that guy.
Yeah.
On that note, follow him at Dogman Toys. Follow Trash Talk. They're playing Furnace Fest. You know, it's getting late, man, dude, but it's been awesome chatting with you and punishing you, man. That's what I do. My radio show is only a reason for me to punish my friends.
Yeah, man. I love it. I'm not the greatest speaker, so I kind of amble through stories, and I'm sure I'll remember a few things after we finish this conversation, and I'll be like, oh, I should have said.
Oh, man. Great to chat with you. I'll try and dig up a Grayskull demo to send your way, man. Actually, you know what? I think I have one of the original Trash Talk demos. In my CD demo pile. I still collect CDs. These compact discs. Still collect them.
Yeah, man. I see.
They're coming back, dude. CD coming back.
What's the next format? Will there be a physical format?
You know, it's funny. You know, it's going to come back. Mini disc. Remember mini disc?
Yeah. I mean, my homie Andrew was like really big on mini discs and like was just all in, was like buying them and taping stuff and yep. For like the 1 year that they were in vogue.
I had a friend who sold his entire like CD and record collection to like just buy mini discs.
So funny.
It was like, yeah, that really took off, dude. It's like It's like the person who bet on Beta instead of VHS, Betamax. It's the person who's like, I purchased all Betamax.
I mean, it's like my grandpa. He bought, I mean, he was a Laserdisc guy. We used to go over there and be like, want to watch a Laserdisc? Like, all right, who's going to get up and flip it over? Who's going to switch it over? The movie's halfway over now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,